At this moment, there's a lady sitting on the shore of Cuba. Her name is Diane Nyad, and she has made a determination that she's going to swim from Cuba all the way to the Florida Keys, 103 miles. She said in the description of her that she wanted to be able to swim with the sharks and the jellyfish and make it through all that in order to prove that she could do it when any other person ever done. Only one person ever swum that entire arena. She's going to do it with only stopping every hour and a half to have a banana or something else. And as I read her story, I thought to myself, she's spending her life trying to break a record that no one will ever be interested in because it's only significant to her. You see, you and I, when we look at the space of territory and water between Cuba and the Florida Keys, we don't say to ourselves, man, I'd like to make that happen. That's a treasure I long for. That's an experience I'd love to have come my way. No, the truth of the matter is, she's seeking the wrong treasure when you look at it, because her treasure is all connected into people being able to say, hey, man, you made that happen. You accomplished that. And you see, in life, lots of times we look for the wrong treasure. We place value in the wrong thing. We think that as we look at our lives, that if we can just put that value into something we're pursuing, some career we might have, or some decision we might make, or some possession we might grab hold of, that those things will fill us up. And yet, the reality is, none of those things take us where God intends for us to go. Because the reality is, if you take it for a moment and look at someone who can have a lot but have nothing, you realize very quickly that if your possessions are what you identify in, then you'll struggle for the real treasure that can guide you in life. If you have only your career, you can climb a ladder, and then you find at some point the ladder is falling back against you, and you realize that career is not the treasure that you could pursue. If you look at your own life, you realize that if you were just to stay healthy without being spiritually whole, then you would only have a muscular body without a spiritual heart. And what we discover is that in life, we all need to discover the treasure God has for us. And it's interesting because the Bible speaks to one distinctive treasure. And the treasure is connected into how God reveals himself to it. Because God has the capacity to help us grasp how life is supposed to work. He gives us an instruction book. In fact, we call it the Bible. It's a tool that absolutely speaks to how we live our lives, what we're supposed to do with our lives, the way in which he would have us go. And today we look at how to discover this treasure. And we find ourselves in a unique place because we find ourselves in Psalm 119. If you have your Bible, turn to that text. And if you were to read that longest segment chapter of all of the Bible, you would find one common thread being weaved all the way through the entire psalm. It is a connection point as it relates to God's Word, an instruction book that doesn't misguide us, that doesn't lead us in the wrong direction. It guides us exactly where God would have us go. And what we discover as we read it is that as we look inside of what the psalmist is saying, he makes it clear that there's one treasure that exceeds all other treasures. And that's that treasure of his word being hid in our heart. That's why when you look at verse 11, you see that. Your word I've hid in my heart, or treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you, that I might be able to discover your purpose for my life. Now, when you look at this psalm, you discover something real quickly. If you look at it's divided up in sections of verses. And in each section of verses, the psalmist does the same thing. He brings us to a concept. Look, if you would, at verse 1 of Psalm 119. Notice what it says. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Look at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Look on over, if you would, at verse 49. Remember the word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. Look at verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Now, here's what you want to see. If you look at the beginning verse of every section of 8 verses, it's always going to come back to the same treasure. And that is the treasure of how God's word grabs hold of where we are and directs us into becoming the men and women he wants us to be. It's this treasure. And what you discover is that all of us have to look at what we value. And you know this, that whatever we love, we do. For example, if we love things that are not going to actually get us anywhere, in other words, if our goal is just to swim across that body of water, if it's just to be able to say, I hold that record, then the reality is that that's not much of a treasure that we would even pursue because it would not fill us up. And listen carefully, there is a hole in every heart that only God filled. And if we pursue the wrong thing, the hole gets bigger. But if we pursue the right thing by the right instruction book that empowers us and helps us understand how to live, then we have a treasure to hang on to. We have God's word that we can hide in our heart, treasure in our hearts so that we won't sin against Him, that we'll learn how to live effectively, which is really what these verses are all about. It's about learning how to be who we're supposed to be in an effective way. So I want to ask you a couple questions as we dig into this passage, because today I want to show you some principles that I want you to think about in your own journey, and I want you to think about how easy it is to pursue the wrong treasure, to go after the wrong thing. And you see, the truth of the matter is what Psalm 119 does, it takes us away from image and centers us into substance. In other words, what the psalmist says is, it's not so much about our image. It's all about who we are, the substance of our lives. And if we don't have substance, then we don't have direction. If we don't have direction, we don't have hope. And if we don't have hope, then a meaning and purposeful life is absolutely going to disappear off the radar screen of our lives. And so what you discover is the psalmist wants to grab hold of us and say, you know what? You need to think about where you are in your journey and begin to work in that. And how do we, the question you have to ask is, how do we discover all that God has in store for us? What the treasures He stored up. How do we come to the place where all of a sudden we begin to get on a pathway of discovery and we begin to see what he wants to say to our lives, what He wants to say to our heart? It's amazing what happens oftentimes. Have you ever noticed that if things are going good, you may not pick your Bible up as much? But when things get difficult, what do? You pick your Bible up, you begin to look at God's Word, you begin to ask yourself, what is it? What would God's Word say to me about this situation? And it's interesting because what you really discover is in the midst of a crisis, you come back to the Christ of the Bible. And what Jesus does, He pulls you out of that crisis and gives you hope, gives you meaning, gives you a word that will kind of carry you forward in whatever it is you're facing. That's why when we look at God's Word, we can take the principles of it and apply them to who we are, to what we're about in life. And amazingly, if we don't apply them, what happens? We become void of purpose. We become void of the treasure that has been given to us, because His Word is the treasure that guides the entire process of developing our lives and being able to understand how we become Christians, for example. If we didn't have the Word and we could not look at John 3:16 and see other verses where that if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. That He loved the world so much that He gave His only Son. What would happen to us? We would not have an instruction book that would guide us. And what we discover today is, by way of a core principle, is that we need to make sure that we look at our lives and begin to live out this life skill of allowing God's Word to be a treasure. I don't know if you're in your home, you have things like I have, but I have treasures in my home. Specific things that have distinctive value, but they're all connected to something bigger. They're all connected to some purpose. For example, I have a candy dish that's in my home that was my grandmother's candy dish. The value is not the old, hard, sticky candy that's still in the bowl. I'm never going to take that candy and say, I'm hungry today, I'm going to have a piece of that candy. In fact, it's all stuck together as one big glob of candy. But I'm not taking the candy out of there, because the truth is it also sends me a message. You see, listen carefully. When I was a little boy and didn't have hope, there was a sweet little lady who read this book. And she read this book so much that she could speak to my heart and she could grab hold of me. And as a little guy, as a little 7-year-old boy, my grandmother started saying things to me that echo through the chambers of my mind and heart to this very day. She began to help me understand that God did love me. She helped me understand it didn't matter how much I was growing up in pain, difficulty, and heartache, that there was a God who would take me from where I'm at and take me places I never dreamed I would go. If you are here and you have a treasure of someone who's invested in you based in His Word, then what you discover is that person brings to your life something that moves you to that next step, moves you forward in life. And what you discover is the psalmist makes it clear that if we are going to be effective, we've got to make sure we grasp these concepts, grasp these principles. And my challenge for you today is to think about your own journey. Ask yourself some tough questions. Ask yourself, what do you really treasure? What is it you hang on to the most? And what you're going to discover as we look at these passages, at this passage today, you're going to discover that oftentimes in life, we put our stock in the wrong thing. We put value in things that has no potential to actually carry forward beyond us. And what we have to do today is look at our own lives and make sure we get a handle. Because in verse 9 of Psalm 119, he asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? And this profound question has great significance, because here's what the psalmist understood. If we are not pure, we will not discover His purpose. If we are not pure, we will not be able to yield to his plan, because what will happen is we will keep doing it our way. We'll keep working in our own plan. And my challenge for you to think about your own life, ask yourself the question, how often do you follow your plan instead of God's plan? And what the psalmist asked the question, how can this man, how can we figure it all out? And he answers it by saying that we find it all by coming to the place where we yield ourselves to the power of what God's word can do in our life. And listen carefully. The world may try to void the significance of this book. The culture may dilute the principles inside of it. We may find those who don't even recognize the power of what it can do. But for those who are his children, it is the most significant, meaningful book we will ever pick up. And without picking it up, we will never discover the treasure that guides us to where God wants us to go. And so today we look and understand something. If we are to ultimately be the men and women that God wants us to be, this cannot be a secondary source of information that only carries us forward in a crisis. This has to be an instruction book that inspires us to live effectively. And I'll tell you what will happen is if we come to a place where we start seeing this as an instruction book, then we will find ourselves being very guided by God. And listen carefully. Life is not supposed to be balanced with pop quizzes. In other words, we're not supposed to cram for a crisis. We're supposed to be equipped, the Bible says, for every good work. And so if you're here today and you've never seen this as the treasure it can be, listen carefully. It is the word that lights your way. It is the word that allows you to see which way to go. And what the psalmist does in this particular text is he shows us some principles that really should guide our lives. And I want to show them to you today because I want you to walk out of church going, you know what? I need to see the value of God's word. And listen carefully. We would empty therapist's office. We would empty psychological counters in Barnes & Noble if people would begin to read this book instead of always relying on someone to analyze the way our mind is thinking. Listen, it is not so much an issue of our mind, it's the issue of our heart. And if our heart is not fixed on God, it doesn't matter how many books you read. If you don't read this book, if you don't see this as a centerpiece of what will guide you through life, you will spend your life having someone ask you a question over and over again, how do you feel? And the issue is not how you feel. The issue is what will you do? Will you obey God's word or will you miss God's word? And so my encouragement today, as you think about your own journey, ask yourself a profound question. How do I find those treasures that are stored up for me? And you find them in God's word. There's several principles I want to show you because we're going to walk into a discovery process today. And I want you to get a hold of this. And I want you to take your mind off of what time it is and turn your mind toward what God can say to you. Because today we've covered lots of things, but there's nothing more critical than what God's word will say to your heart and life today. Because you may be here and watch this. Everything is going well with you, but a crisis is coming. You don't even know it yet. And when the crisis comes, you will either find yourself deeply indwelled inside of God's word, or you will find yourself crippled by the crisis that you live through. And being crippled by it, you'll find yourself saying, I don't know which way to go. But what the psalmist understood was, there's only one way to go. Let's break this psalm down, because these verses you have heard, many of them before. But I want to show you several principles. First of all, in verse 9, you'll notice as he asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? And how can that person? He says by the word of God. And listen carefully. Principle number one in discovering what God has for us is we must live with clear direction from the Lord. It's the very essence of everything I've said so far. We must live with a clear direction that God has something for us, that he wants to take us a particular way. Because how can a young man stay pure? How can a woman stay pure? How can a person find purpose? They have to have clear direction from the Lord. And if we don't have clear direction from the Lord, then we're dependent on ourselves. And listen carefully. You want a great marriage? Let the Lord be the center of it. You want great relationships? Let the Lord be the center of it. You want to be effective in sharing your faith? Let the Lord be the center of it. You want to make a difference in your children's life? Listen carefully. If this book is a secondary source of instruction for the lives of your children, someday your heart will break. Because this book is the only thing that doesn't come back void. You want to invest in your children's life? Get clear direction from the Lord and let him guide you. And what you see here, he says, how can a young man stay pure? In other words, how can a young man accomplish ultimately what God has for him? He discovers the treasure of God's Word. And let me say to you, you want to find how life really works? Pick up this book and begin to read it like it's a life change instrument. Grab hold of it. You see, today, every one of us have the same diagnosis. A same diagnosis. We all have allowed sin to affect us. And the only way we conquer sin is to come to a Savior. And the only way we allow a Savior to work in our life is to allow His Word to speak to our hearts and life. And so my challenge to you today is think about how important it is that we have that motivation. But look on verse 10, because we see another concept that the psalmist gives us. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. What does he say here? He says something so powerful. He says that we should maintain a lifetime pursuit of him, that we should maintain a pursuit of him. And I want you to look at that phrase there, all my heart. Because what you discover there is that's a common concept that's actually evidence throughout the Bible. And it's the same concept that you and I actually either become effective or ineffective in. Because if I give all my heart to it, something profound can happen, something significant. But if I don't give all my heart to it, then it's very inconsequential most of the time. And what the psalmist says here is, that I have been looking for you with all my heart. And he makes this phrase, he uses this phrase, do not let me wander. And here's what he's saying. In life, there are lots of things that will capture our attention, that will direct us certain ways, that will cause us to wonder about how it all fits together. And if we wander away from what it is he has for us, and we don't give all our heart to it, then what will happen is we'll get confused. And the reason oftentimes we find ourselves confused is not so much the dynamics of how life has come at us, but how little we've applied what it is that God says to guide us through it. Because oftentimes we do live through things that we can't comprehend, but then we find ourselves inside of God's Word. We recognize that God's Word speaks to every issue we'll ever face in life. And when I think about that, how important it is that we give all our heart to it. Can you imagine for a moment you found yourself in a relationship, and in the midst of the relationship, you ask that person, well, are you 100% committed to me? And the person looks at, oh, no, I'm only 92%. I'm keeping 8% for myself because you never know what else is going to come my way. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you dive into that relationship? Never in a million years, would you? Why? Because the wild card is not the 92%. The wild card is when that person who said, I love you, trumps you and says, guess what? At 8%. That's where I'm going. And what you discover is you would never pursue that. And listen, make application of that about where you are in your walk with God. Does Jesus intend for us to give him 92% of who we are? Does God intend for us to partially commit ourselves to discovering his full purpose for our life? And the answer is absolutely not. He wants all of our heart. And you know, if you were to walk out of church today, you know what, and you were to say, I give him my whole heart. I give him everything. I'm going to tell you what you discover. You'd find a peace you couldn't find any other way on earth. You'd find direction. You'd find meaning because what you said was, I'm giving it all. And what you discover today is when I know which way God wants me to go and his word speaks to it, and I put my heart completely into it, I mean, I invest everything I'm about, then I begin to see how I can discover the treasure of God's word speaking to my life. Look on though, verse 11, he gives us the third principle. Notice how he speaks to our life. Your word, I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Your word, I have treasured. And when you read this, the idea of a treasure is something that saturates us. And here's what he said. If we are to discover the treasure, we must allow God's word to saturate our hearts. In other words, to become the very essence of who we are so that when we look at God's word, it flows out of us. It's not that secondary book that we use for our crisis, but it becomes something that flows through our lives. I discovered something yesterday I didn't know because I haven't had around me little children in a long time. In my home last night, we had my sister-in-law and her daughter, our niece, and their little baby, a beautiful little Naomi. So my wife asked the question, said, do we need to change her diaper? And my sweet little niece, Annie, she looked and she laid that baby down and she looked at the diaper and said, no, we don't have to change it. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, when I was a parent, you had to actually take it off to see if it was wet or not. But she said, look right here, there's an indicator on here that says whether this diaper is saturated or not. In other words, we don't have to take it off. Now, I'm not implying that y'all are all wearing diapers, but let me just say if you were, okay? How many of you would indicate saturation with God's word? I mean, how many of you, when all of a sudden, if that all of a sudden that color changed, it would indicate that you were totally absorbed in what God's word is saying to your life? I'll tell you what you discover. Many of us, the diaper would still be dry because we allow issues and things to get in the way of God's best. Now, I am delighted they made that technological advancement, because when my granddaughter stays in my house, all I'm going to do is lay down, Elliot baby down, say, the color doesn't change, we move on through life. So I'm hoping that we'll have much more advanced technology. I'm praying for the machine someday to come where all you do is just sit them in it and they change everything out. And you pull them right out of there and say, okay, now you feel better about this, Nora, don't you? Well, the truth is, it may never get that far. And what the psalmist says here is that your word I've treasured in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. And you know, there couldn't be a greater sin than to disregard the power of what God's word could do in our lives and say to ourselves, I'm going to do it my way instead of God's way. If you're here today and you, in your life, he's never saturated you, never, it's never become everything to you, this life skill is so critical, because here's what it does. When you start being absorbed by God's word, it starts directing you exactly where you need to go. For example, you're struggling with peace one day, and all of a sudden you pick up Isaiah and you begin to read, and it says, thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You find yourself struggling and trying to figure out how things are going to work out, and all of a sudden you're in Romans chapter 8 and you begin to read the 28th verse and you realize that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, what you discover is that God's word speaks to everything we're about in life. We just have to be saturated with it. It's the same kind of love that makes a home healthy. You see, in a home where love is a saturating quality, those who make mistakes are not condemned. They're blessed to be corrected as they move forward. And instead of condemnation, there becomes a spirit of obedience to be able to make a difference in someone else's life. And my challenge for you today is thinking about your own life. Think about this by way of turn. Which way are you going? Have you wandered away? Are you saturated in God's word? Look on, though, verse 12 through 14. Notice what the scripture said. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statute. With my lips I have told of all the ordinance of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. It's interesting what he does here, because here he does a dividing line. Because what he wants us to do by way of discovery is acknowledge him as a source of all joy. But he adds a line here that is the distinguishing mark that causes people to pursue happiness instead of joy. Because he says that I've rejoiced more than all riches. And what takes away joy quicker than anything? Placing our eyes on what we have, watch this, instead of who has us. Placing our eyes on our possessions, we begin to think, watch this, that we own them all. We begin to believe that these are ours, that they haven't been entrusted to us, that they're ours. And what you discover here is he says, I rejoiced more than anything I could ever have. And you know, the reality is for you and me, if you want to discover the treasure of being who God wants you to be, please don't use the balance of your checkbook as the point of evaluation. Discover instead the joy of the Lord, which the Bible says is our strength. You want to be strong? Let Jesus be everything to you. Let him be your strength, because something powerful will begin to happen inside of who you are. Let's look on, though, because verse 15 gives us another concept, another principle. Notice what it says. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. The word meditation has to do with something that we focus on deliberately. And when you look at this, what he's really saying is that if we are to discover the treasure of God's word, we must focus clearly on the principles of God's word. And when he talks about precepts, it has to do with the principles that guide us. And here's what he's trying to say. When we come to place, watch this, when we discover the treasure of what his word can do, then we'll come to a place where we start meditating on exactly what he has for us through his word, and something powerful will begin to happen. It's interesting, in our home, my wife and I have been meditating through the Bible on verses that we are claiming for our grandchild. Meditating on verses that are principle-driven, that will guide throughout a lifetime, because we don't know how long the Lord will allow us to live, but one thing we do know, that when Nora grows up, may she pick up this book and realize it is what guided us through every day of our lives. May our future grandchildren have the same concept in mind, and may they recognize, just as the scripture says here, may they recognize that when you come to a place where you meditate, in other words, you zero in on it, you don't scan it, you don't quickly read it, you meditate on it. Then you'll come to that place where he says that we learn how to regard your ways the way you have for us. And wouldn't it be wonderful today if I could just say to you, I have a book for you to read that will change the way you look at life. And it won't be read in a crisis. It will be read instead by a conviction. And the conviction will cause you to be so effective that you'll treasure it in your heart, that it'll guide you through life. Look on one of the principles I want you to see, because you'll notice one of the things he said in verse 16. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. When you look at this, you understand something. Here's what he said. Delight and remember the power of God's word. Do not forget it. Do not forget what God's word can do. You see, there's a significant power source that we can plug into, that we can allow to work in our lives. And so I want you to think about where you are today. And here's what's amazing. Only God knows where your heart really is. Do you treasure in your heart what God could do? Do you treasure what God could do? Or have you allowed some circumstance to get in your way? Listen carefully. If you put your eyes on people, you'll always be disappointed. You put your eyes on Jesus, you'll never be disappointed. See, that's the difference. And here's what the world said. The world says, try to figure it all out and you'll get somewhere. God says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I'm the key to it all. And so today, you look at your own life and you have to ask yourself, going back to the very first illustration that I shared, are you going to be like Diana Nyad? Swim with the sharks, swim with the jellyfish, and 20 years from now, no one will pick up a book and say, man, look what she did. Or are you going to be with those like the psalmist who said, how can a young man stay pure? By being willing to allow God's word to be a treasure that he's entrusted to us. And Lord, and as long as the Lord allows us to be able to live inside this word, may we let it be the guideline that guides us through every step of our journey. Because here's what you're going to discover. We only live once, and we will either allow it to speak to where we are, or we'll miss the best of life. And for me, what I discover every time I pick this book up, it speaks to everything I'm facing and everything I'll ever face. And as we point our hearts towards this, we discover the life skill that there is a treasure that far exceeds whatever we would ever accumulate. And it is the unbelievable, profound accumulation of God's perfect word spoken into our hearts. And it's my prayer today that you allow this book to be the guideline. And as the world says, go this way, go that way, do this, do that, when as the world moves towards the return of the Lord Jesus, stay focused on this book, because it speaks to everything you'll ever face. What a great book. Amen? Father, thank you for the power of your word. It speaks to our lives, guides us. Lord, I think about young people in this room. They have a choice. They can follow this book and become absolutely profoundly impacted, or they can look at every shelf at Barnes & Noble and every other bookstore, and they can find all kinds of books to try to understand the mind. But you made it clear that it was the issue of the heart, the transformation that occurs when we allow you to be everything in our lives. And so, Lord, for every person here, I think about how important it is they go home today realizing this is a book that's like no other book, that they would allow it to be a treasure to them, that they would be open in their hearts and lives, be open in their home. And I pray, Lord, that as we embark on this journey, if we develop these different skills that you've given us the capacity to be able to develop, I just pray, Lord, that you would allow us in this particular Sunday to discover the treasure of what your word can do. It can change anybody, anywhere, from a prison cell in Louisiana to a full chair sitting here in nor cross, to a person hurting in Argentina, Lord, all across the world, your word is being preached this day, and people are coming to know you in a powerful and wonderful way. Bless, Lord, as we respond to you in Christ's name. Amen.